Good evening, and welcome to Pearls of Power.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Pearls of Power. And I'm Tracy, the host for this evening. Today, I'm just so glad to be here. I'm so glad that God is using me in this time, in this hour, to speak his word to his people. God is so good to us. And I just can't say thank you enough. I want to discuss with you or talk with you this evening. I want to remind us that Holy Week is coming upon us, one of the highest seasons or holidays of the Christian year and Jewish year, and that is celebrating the Lord's death, burial and resurrection. Be mindful of that, and just be in a place yourself in an attitude of thanksgiving and an attitude of prayer and turning inwardly and reflecting and looking in upon yourself and your heart and just being in an attitude of thanksgiving during this time Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
So that he said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. You know, you take, eat, this is my body, his body that was pierced for us and beaten for us, and take, eat, this is, drink, this is my blood, the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins so that we may be the righteousness of Christ and have eternal life. God is not going to let us forget that. Because it was no small matter for God to give his only begotten son and for him to be brutally killed. He gave his life, but he chose the manner in which it was taken for us. But God is not going to let us forget, and we should not ever forget something as that act, that great act of benevolence and love for lost humanity. And so I just wanted to remind the people of God to be thankful and grateful during this time of year, and to just turn your attention towards what the Lord has done for us. What I want to talk to you this evening about is prayer. One of my topics that I study a lot. Prayer is something that I can really tell you about, okay, because I pray a lot. I committed to prayer many years ago, maybe 30 years ago, I committed to prayer because I knew that if I was going to be any type of Christian, I knew I had to have that connection with God. And God invites us to prayer. Every Christian, God invites us to pray. He says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain help in the time of need. Hebrews 4:16, we're invited to pray, and it is our obligation to pray. Men ought to always pray and faint not. Prayer is our power line. It is our power source. It is our connection with God, and I just can't see a Christian really being victorious or successful without prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is communication with God. Prayer is communicating with God, man interacting with God, and God interacting with man. God does talk to people. God talks to man. People seem to think that God has removed himself from humanity, has left us running amok down here on planet Earth. But that is quite the contrary. God desires to have deep fellowship and an intimate relationship with you and with me. God is a relationship God, and we matter to him. He is not superficial. He's not interested on the surface. God wants a heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul, mind-to-mind relationship with his people. And God already knows us because he says every hair on our head is numbered. But he wants us to become more familiar with him. He wants us to know who he is, more of him, to become familiar with his ways, how he thinks and how he operates, how he feels, what he likes, what he doesn't like, what grieves God, what God loathes or hates, if you want to use that strong word. But God wants us to be familiar with him. God told Moses, you know, build a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. He wanted to be right there in the middle, in the midst of the Hebrews. And God wants to be right there in your heart, in your home, in your business. He wants that very intimate relationship. And prayer is the means whereby that is accomplished. When you are develop a consistent prayer life, consistent, that means, you know, this is something regular. It's routine. It's habitual. You will develop a relationship with God. And prayer, let me tell you something, and prayer is the only way that you can develop a relationship with God. God has designed it that way. I know you're probably looking for some alternate route, but it's not going to happen. Prayer is the means whereby God has designed us to get to know him, fellowship with him. Yes, maybe, you know, it can become mundane. It can become, I guess at times, you know, it can become a little tedious, but you have to press through those times because it's something that you have to decide that you're going to do for the rest of your life because God wants that relationship with you. God wants you to talk to him. He's an interpersonal God, and he loves his people. God is a relationship God, and he loves you. He may seem distant at times, but let me tell you something. That distance, it is because of sin. It says sin has separated you from your God, Isaiah 59:2. But there's a remedy for that. You just turn from your sin. Turn from your wicked ways and repent and be reconciled to your God. It's the sin in our lives that can silence the voice of God. And I talked about that a few weeks ago about grieving the Holy Spirit or quenching the Holy Spirit. And it's not that God is not there. He may seem distant, but it is the sin in our lives, Isaiah 59:2 says, that can separate us from our God and repel the presence of God. And we want the presence of God in our lives. And as Christians, we need the presence of God in our lives. So to remedy that, what seems to be that distance that you may be feeling, is to just turn from what you know you should not be doing. I mean, it's just as simple as that. Turn from it, repent, and be reconciled to God. The purpose of prayer, is fellowship. The main purpose is answers. When you pray to God, you know, you're coming to God because you need answers. So we're not just praying because we don't have anything to do. We need some things to happen, and it is through prayer whereby you get those things to happen. You get results. So you get results in prayer, and you get change. Something is not going the way you want it to go in your life, and you want it to turn around and you change. Prayer is the answer. Prayer is where the natural meets the supernatural, where you're in the natural realm and you're by prayer, through faith, by the grace of God, you're reaching into another realm and you're contacting the Lord God Almighty. It's our point of contact with the spirit realm. You know, witches and warlocks already know about this. Of course, they're not contacting God. They're contacting the mediums and demons and demonic activity, if you all didn't know that. That's exactly what they're doing. But God, when we're praying to the Lord God Almighty. And when we do that as children of God, God promises that he'll answer our prayers. All serious Christians pray. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You show me a weak, busted, and disgusted, and frustrated, defeated Christian, and I will show you a Christian that does not have a prayer life. I mean, that's just the bottom line. The power is in direct correlation with the magnitude of your prayer, your prayer life. Your power, your success, your strength, your abilities are all tied into, is in direct correlation with your prayer life, period, end of discussion. Because I'm telling you, I know when I started praying, like I said 30 years ago, the difference I just began to see, and there's a lot going on when you pray. I mean, your senses are heightened, and it's just so many things going on in prayer. You just cannot afford not to be a prayerful Christian. We go to God in prayer because we know that He is able, okay? You know, you're going to go to someone if they're not, you know, they don't have the juice to get the thing done. No, you go to God because you know that God is able. He can do it. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all we ask or think. And so we just need to know that He is able to, whatever it is that you can think of, whatever your need is, God can do beyond that. And let's say your need is, you know, Lord, my kids' tuition needs to be paid for this year. Well, you know, exceedingly abundantly above and beyond would the answer would be, God can say, well, how about let's give your child a full 4-year scholarship? How about that? You know, a need may be, you know, Lord, I've been diagnosed with cancer. Well, through prayer, you praying and coming boldly before the throne of grace, through prayer with that concern, the answer, God can give you answers. The next time you go to the doctor's office, your cancer will be in full remission. And they'll scan you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and there will not be not one cancer cell. God can do that. And there are testimonies after testimonies after testimonies of Christians that have had what we consider the impossible done for them through prayer. And it's something with things in part, it's AIDS. I've heard of people with AIDS having that disease completely cured. And you know that's on the up there on the list of impossibilities, but with God, all things are possible. You just have to believe and exercise that prayer life. Let me tell you something. God, let's talk about another need. What about the need of your husband and your husband or your wife? Y'all not getting along. You're at each other's throats. You want to repeat it. You cut his head off. You want to get a divorce. That's a need. I'm telling you. That's a need. And what God would do, well, how about you go to God in prayer. You go to God in prayer. Let me tell you, prayer is a lifeline. And I've heard couples, their marriage completely be turned around because they yielded in prayer. They agreed to pray over it and be consistent about their prayer over it. And look, they fall in love all over again, and they have feelings for each other that they did when they first met. And, you know, the husband, you know, takes the 1-carat ring off her finger and replaces it with 3 carats. Hallelujah. But anyway, that's just me. Prayer gives you leverage. Prayer gives you leverage. It gives you advantage over someone. Let me tell you something. Over someone that's not praying. You have access to someone that can make things happen. I mean, it's like, let me tell you something. It's like 2 or 3 people going for a job, the same job interview. But you are friends with someone that knows the boss. And you slip your, you know, you say, look, I need this job. You talk to that friend that's a friend, that friend that's a friend of the boss, and say, look, you know, hook me up. Well, because you have that relationship and you communicated with that friend, that middleman, you know, talk to the boss and convince him, you know, do this for me. And that boss, because of the relationship with that middleman, you got hired over the other people that was as qualified or maybe even in some cases more qualified than you, but because you had leverage because of your relationship, you got the job. It's the same principle with prayer. We go to God with our problems. People without God try to solve their situations on their own. And, you know, it's a hit and miss thing, but we have more than just chance or luck or maybe not. With God, we can go to Him and we can tell Him our situation, and God can make things happen for us and have people looking at, well, how did she get that? How did she get that? Let me tell you something. I am a witness to what God can do as far as leverage and favor. When Hurricane Ike came through, people's power was out in my neighborhood. But for some reason, let me tell you, on my block, my power didn't go out. It didn't go out. And I just feel like the Lord was like, I am not going to let my child. I just felt like, God, I'm not going to let my child go 2 weeks without electricity and without water and all that. I never missed a beat. And that is amazing because all of the surrounding area, the power was out. I mean, I came through and it really knocked down a lot of, it destroyed a lot of power. Some people didn't get power restored for over a week. But, hey, let me tell you something. It didn't happen in my house. And, I just say that was the favor of God, and that was leverage. And I just thank God for that. So prayer can give you leverage. God says, call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Great and mighty. God wants to show out sometimes and show you what He can do. Because it's not by our might, nor by our power. It is by His Spirit, and He can do above. He says what we think. God can pull tricks out of the trick bag that you have never even thought of. He can wow you. And I think many times that is what God wants to do. He wants to wow us. Just pray and ask and stand back and see what God can do. We need to trust that God can do something great and something spectacular and marvelous in our life. Not just mediocre. God is not a mediocre God. God is beyond mediocre. And I just really think God wants to show us. He could have took Israel a different route to Canaan, but God is a point the Red Sea kind of God. You know, He wanted to show out. You know, there was another route to Canaan, but God wants to show the stand and see the salvation of God. He wants to show you His power and His might and what He can do. He wants to build up your confidence in Him. And let me tell you, prayer is a good starting point. God can cause, He can blow your mind, He can cause your enemies to fail you.
Amen.
God can come. I can call things not into existence and just to come right to your front door. Things that are not even in existence. He can call things that are not existent right to your front door. There is nothing impossible with me. I am God. By definition, I am not limited to situations and circumstances. God is not limited to our realm. He's not coming to matter and the light bill and water and the Dow and the stock market and the mad cow disease. He is not subject to all of that. But He can get in all of that for us and change the situation and the circumstances around for us. He's above our situation. He's above our circumstances. And he wants us to keep him in proper perspective. He's a great and mighty God. And we have a privilege and an honor. And what a comfort to know that we can come to him in prayer with our needs. One thing that was cleared up to me today, and I just almost turned cartwheels, is that, you know, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace doth much
yes.
more abound. You know, when God showed us the law, that only stirred up the sin in us. But we're not under a law, the Bible says. We're under grace. Another word that the Bible uses for grace is supply. Another word that the Bible uses for the law is demand. The law makes a demand on us. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But in this time, the time of the Gentiles, we're in a time of grace, a time of not demand, thou shalt not, but a time of grace, grace upon grace. And grace is a supply. So where demand doth abound, the supply doth much more abound. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you have a demand, know that God has more than enough supply to meet that demand. He has more than enough. You just got to pray. Now, let me tell you, the results of prayer, prayer gives us strength. Hallelujah. I am a witness to that. Prayer gives
Amen.
Us strength. Isaiah 40:31 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. It is in prayer that you find that kick, that extra kick, that strength that you need to carry on. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The NET Bible says he gives strength to those who are tired. To the ones
yes.
that power, he gives renewed energy. And I like that translation. I mean, it just brings it all down. I mean, you got the bills, and you got to cook dinner, and you've got to get the kids to the ball practice or go pick them up, and you got to do laundry. You've got to balance your bills, and you got to take care of yourself, get a workout in a few days a week, whatever. You'll get tired. That stuff will wear you out. I mean, just humanly, you just get tired, and you can just get weary and feel despair. But Isaiah 40:29 says he gives strength to those who are tired. Because we are going to get tired. There's a demand on us that, and it pulls us in 100 different directions. He says he gives strength to those who are tired. To the ones who lack power, he renews their energy. That is found in prayer. I repeat, that is found in prayer. You show me a person that has no prayer life, I'll show you a defeated, broke down, disgusted, busted, weary Christian. When you pray, God, he energizes you. He renews you. He gives you a second wind. He refreshes you. It comes through prayer. Prayer has to become a priority in your life. You got it. You will say, well, Tracy, I got so much going on in my life, I need prayer. You can't afford not to have prayer. Let me tell you, if you just devoted and dedicated, you say, okay, let me just start out with 15 or 20 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 minutes. Let me tell you, them 15 minutes will take you further than you not praying at all. It'll help you get through your day. It'll help you accomplish those tasks in the strength of the Lord. Prayer gives you strength to go forward. It's a supernatural thing, and you can't afford to do without it. Another thing that prayer gives us is power. Power. Power is an effectiveness, a capability, an endowment capacity and influence. That's what Daniel had. The Bible says that Daniel prayed three times a day, and he purposed in his heart to serve God. And the Bible says because he did that, there was none found like Daniel. God gave him knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, along with the three Hebrew boys. And the Bible says that God gave him understanding in all visions and dreams. That's endowment, and that's capacity. Let me tell you something. Prayer can unlock potentials in you that you don't even know that are there. You don't even know you have them. They're there laying inactive, latent, and dormant, and prayer can cause those things to come alive. I'm going to tell you something. About 9 or 10 years ago, I did not know that I could write poetry. The Lord told me, sit down. Now, this was about 10 years ago. It was about 2003, 2004. The Lord told me, sit down and write. I got my pen and pad, okay? And out starts flowing out of me poems. And I'm not talking about twinkle, twinkle, little star poems. I'm talking about powerful, poetic poems where I have been invited to various churches just to recite those poems. And I did not even know that that was in me. But I have a prayer life. And I'm telling you, when you dedicate yourself to prayer, God will begin to activate gifts that are laying, that you don't know that are there, that are laying dormant inside of you. He can enhance your abilities on the job. Whatever your gift and talent may be, it can be magnified because God wants to give you favor. You're his child, and he wants you to shine. But that shine comes with a price, and that price is prayer. Prayer can cause you to excel and rise to the top of your peers along with hard work. Now, for those that don't know, I'm a nurse, and I worked in the hospital for 20 years, and I've had a prayer life for a very long time. And when I went to work, I'm going to tell you, I was one of the strongest nurses on the floor. And I had clarity and focus and precision. And I can only give credit to that with God. The doctors respected my opinion. And I know that it is because God enhanced my ability. No, I was no more special than any other nurse on the floor. But I had a prayer life, and it gave me what? Favor, and it gave me leverage. So I'm just sharing this with you. I only have 2 more minutes to go, but I want to also let you know that prayer gives you peace, it gives you joy, and it gives you his presence. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. I do want to share this with you before I go, and that is prayer. It gives you the peace of God. So prayer acts, I'm going to have to skip because I have 1 more minute, but prayer is like a shock absorber. When you hit the bumpy roads of life and you get down on your knees and you feel like you can't take it, prayer absorbs those bumps and those jolts. When you're going down the street and you see the bumps in the road, well, you go on through those bumps, you see that they're there. But prayer is like the shock absorber that when you pass over those bumps, it doesn't affect you as it would if you didn't have shocks. It takes the shock. It minimizes the effect of the jolts and the bumps in the road. And that's what prayer does. It's that peace of God. Not that you're not going through, but God gives you that shock absorber, that prayer life that helps you to go through in sanity and in peace of mind. And it's 8:30 right now, and I'm going to close. I just wanted to thank you for tuning in tonight. And for those that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I'll invite you right now because God loves you. And he wants you to have eternal life and to live an eternity with him. All you have to do is pray this simple prayer. You repeat after me, but you mean it from your heart. and God will receive you. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Fill me with your Spirit. Write my name in the book of life. If you have, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you have prayed this prayer, I want to welcome to it, you into the family. And again, my name is Tracy, and I'm going to turn this program over to my dear Dr. Hunter.
All right, well, Dr. I'm on the line because Tracy?
I'm here.
Tracy? Okay, still on the line because, all right, there's another person coming on from New Jersey. Let's introduce Cyan and thank God for coming on. Amen?
Amen.
Hello, Sonia. How you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you, Dr. Hunter?
Well, we're blessed. Tracy's on the line with us also. So it's up to your program starts tonight. You got a name for it. You want to speak directly to the people. You got 30 minutes to do what God has given you to do. Amen?
Amen. God is good to us. Yep. And we give God all the glory. We just want to start out by just letting him have his way. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, oh God. We surrender to you, precious Holy Spirit. Have your way. Speak through our vocal cords and think through our mind. Let it be all of you and none of us. And Father, we just thank you in advance for a word in due season. We thank you for the works of the enemy being bound right now. And we bind the enemy in every area of our lives. We bind him over this airway. We bind any workings that he's doing in the name of Jesus. And we loose all of heaven.
Oh, yes.
In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the word that we spoke about last week has just still been resonating in my heart about belief. And that's what I'd like to start out with tonight. And I just took a quick, basic, simple look at that word, believe, to accept as true or real. And that's a question I think we have to ask ourselves. Do we believe? The scripture that we left off with last week was John 11 and 40, where Jesus was speaking. And this was about the story of Lazarus. And he asked one of the sisters, Mary, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. As believers, do we believe? You know, believe is something that we, you know, we are constantly doing. You know, we're constantly either operating in belief or unbelief. You know, that's going with us all day long in everything we're doing. It's either we do believe or we don't believe. And that's a question tonight. And that's what the Lord wants to know about us. Do we believe? And I want to deal with about three scriptures tonight, and I'll give them to you a little ahead of time just in case you want to put a bookmark or something in there. John 6 and 35, John 7, 37 and 38. We'll be going back to John 11 and 40, and we'll finish up with John 6 and 37. Okay, if you turn with me to John 6 and 35. And the word of God reads, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Amen?
Amen.
Now that word, when it talks about he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The gospel is open to us all. There's nobody excluded, first of all. But he that cometh, we will never hunger and we will never thirst.
Amen.
Because He will give us rivers of living water. And the rivers of living water, when he talks about we will never thirst, we're going to go to that scripture next to see about these rivers of living water, is the abundant fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that fullness of the Holy Spirit will meet every need and solve every problem we have. And this all goes to he that believeth on me. So believe is just the main theme of this gospel. We have to believe. You know, we hear it all the time. We can be a fan of it, and we can like it, but bottom line is we have to believe. We have to accept this gospel as true. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's what the word of God says, that whosoever believes, and it doesn't exclude anybody. Nobody's rejected here. Whosoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So believe, we have to believe. Turn with me to John 7 and 37. Where we can look at this rivers of living water.
Amen.
Amen. And in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now this is a promise. This is a promise from the Lord Almighty. And as we look at this scripture, you know, it just confirms the fact that any man of any race, any generation, anybody, nobody's excluded. No gender, it doesn't matter what you have. We're all accepted. Nobody is rejected. It doesn't depend on how much money you have, what your condition is. Nobody's limited. It doesn't matter what your tribe, nationality, all are included. And he promises us the rivers of living water. And the precursor to it is he that believes. We
Amen.
Have to believe. He that believes proves that the promise is for every man. And that's, you know, when we look at the thirst, this means that, you know, we are eager, we are keen, we're just craving. It's a passion of our soul, you know, to complete the union with God and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know, that we are just thirsting after God. You know, it's not just like just something in passing, but it's just really fervent that we want God, you know, and God is available for us, you know.
Amen.
It's got to be something that you desire. So, you know, and believe is the key. We have to believe. And just looking at the scripture a little more, come unto me. You know, this is a complete surrender. It's a voluntary thing. God is not tying our hands behind our back or making him, you know, making us want to serve him. This must be something that we are completely surrendering our lives to God, you know, to his whole complete will, to his will. And drink, this means the wholehearted reception into our life of the gifts, the fruits, the operation of the Holy Spirit. So he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let me slow down a little bit. But if any man, I'm going back up to 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, God promises us in the scripture. And the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know I need this river of living water in my life. Because, you know, everything before I became born again was just a complete shambles. You know, it was just my life was just totally disrupted, you know, by the sin that I was doing. And the thing about it all is that in the condition before I was born again, you know, my only out was to see things like suicide, alcohol, drugs, a lifestyle of sleeping around. You know, but the thing about it is God has given us today, at this moment, the opportunity to believe on him and to come out of that mess. Because that's what we have, you know, before we choose Jesus as Lord, is we got a hot mess. And only, you know, the only thing that it takes to change that hot mess is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter how much money we have. It doesn't matter what our economic status is. It doesn't matter who we are, rich or poor, young or old. You know, it doesn't matter what tribe. We can come out of these messes in our lives and choose Jesus as our Lord. We don't have to choose suicide. We don't have to choose that rock anymore. We don't have to choose to go down to the liquor store and just drink ourselves to death. You know, we have a choice here, and God offers us the best-case scenario. You know, he offers us a relationship with him, and all it's based on is belief. It's accepting him as true and real. And, I mean, you know, it's almost unbelievable because you look at every religion around the world, they all got their different standards that they have for you, but you don't see any of them that say just believe. You know, I've been around people that are Hindi. I've been around Muslims. I've been around all type of religions because India got like 3,000 different types. You know, you can worship the elephant over here. You worship this over here. You worship the rat, whatever. All of them got a list of stuff you got to do. But only God is asking us to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ is believe.
I'm on the preacher.
He doesn't Amen. Give us a whole list of things. He said, just believe on me. And John 11:40, let's just turn right there since we're right there on it right now. It simply says that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. I'm just getting born again all over again. I mean, this thing is just beautiful. You know, God did all the work, and he continues to do the work because the work is done from the inside out. Once we start believing, the Holy Spirit starts his surgery on our innermost being, you know, changing us from the inside out. We are surrendering, we're believing and surrendering to God. And that's mm-hmm. it. And we are just vessels. We are empty vessels for his use. And it's just a beautiful thing. So, you know, when I thank God for a simple word tonight because we all come from different levels here. Some of us are believers, some unbelievers, some want to believe. And the bottom line is all you have to do is just believe because God is real. You know, I can't make a case for God. You the case for God. I'm the case for God. We all created in the image of God. And, you know, it's just a simple step of just believing and just, you know, and just laying it all down to him. Here I am as I am, you know, not with these pretenses of coming, you know, trying to have on different facades and things like that. It's just he accepts us as we are, and he is the one that does the changing, from the transformation, you know. And that's a beautiful thing because, you know, I'm used to doing a lot of work and trying to make all kind of things happen. And, you know, I can take a break now. Isn't that beautiful? Because God is the one that does the transformation.
Amen.
I don't know where I stopped or started, but we can go back to John 7 and 36. And, you know, God is an awesome God.
He is an awesome God.
Yes. Yeah. The fourth point, believe on me. As we've been talking, this means to believe in and obey to the letter of the whole gospel program. And you know what? It's just believe. You know, once we believe, our actions line up with all that. You know, if you look at yourself and what you do every day,
ahead.
You know, if you look at yourself and what you do every day, you can see what you believe. We believe the chairs will hold us. We just go and sit down. We don't stop and inspect that chair. We don't get on the floor and look up under it and all that. We just go sit down. We, you know, and the thing about it is that the way that we handle the things from God, that God is saying to us? You know, my dad, this weekend, I had a friend that buried her father. And my dad told me, he said, you know what, I'm going to go to the funeral and I'm going to, you know, give her, show her some love, you know, show the respect of our family, you know, as being present there. And he called me later on that evening and he said, you know, you didn't even check on me to see if I went or not. I said, you know what, you told me and I believed. And for me, it was a done deal when you said it. And it's just like that, that we need to take this word. You know, God said it. He's made promises to us. It's a done deal. You know, the only thing that we have is just to rejoice and thank him for it. And that's true believing. And to check ourselves tonight, if we're not operating like that, we got to get back in here and get, you know, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We got to get this faith thing together. Because if we're not taking the promises of God like that, we're not believing.
Amen.
And that's,
amen.
And that's what we've got to do. We've got to believe. You know, we've got to believe. That's the core, I think, this is my opinion, this is the core requirement of Christians that we're called believers, and we have to believe. You know, the Bible
yeah.
says that all believers have their place in the lake of fire. It says unbelief is evil in Hebrews. And yep. you know what? I just yep. praise God because when I look at, like I said earlier, when I look around to see these different religions around me, you know, this is amazing. It is amazing grace.
Yeah.
It's amazing what God has required of us to believe.
Amen.
And my last scripture, I think we hit John 11:40. The last thing I want to go over is John. Go back to John 6:37. And it says that all that the Father giveth me, and this is Jesus talking, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now that's just beautiful.
Mama.
There's no rejection with Jesus. And all he said was come. He didn't tell you to clean yourself up. He didn't tell you to go get in shape, lose 20 pounds, and let's tape and see if you know, are capable of doing the PT test. He didn't say none of that. He didn't say that you had to have this much money in your bank account. You need to be this color. He don't care if you're black or white, yellow, brown, or green. He just said, come to me. It don't matter who you are, what you got, if you're prostituting, if you're the pimp, if you're the drug addict, the drug dealer, the sex trafficker, you can come out of that mess too. You know, you've been sitting there being greedy and making money off of folks' misery. And a murderer, he said, come to me. You know, if you believe, God can change you. God can change you. And when you believe,
amen.
You confess your sins to the Lord, you confess it all, and right then you forgive him. You make that turn. You know, that's all he asked us, to turn from that wicked way. Confess. Confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Come on now. He don't just forgive you. He cleanses you of all unrighteousness.
Oh,
mm-hmm. And renounce that old lifestyle. That means turn and completely turn, come out of there. And he's transforming you. God is the one that's inside doing the surgery on you, straightening you out. You can't clean up yourself. He's going to clean you. You know, there ain't no self-help. We can't help ourselves. That's the issue. So, Dr. Hunter, that's what I had to share tonight.
Well, I want to say this to you. I want to say this to you, Sonia, and to all of those particularly on the radio station with us, and have the courage to do what she's done. We thank God. Anybody got any questions you want to state, comments you want to give, want to help push it up to the next level? Amen. Anybody?
Amen.
Well, what I want to do then while you're, we're all still on the air, because I sent out a bold Facebook. I said at 9 o'clock I want to have some prayer. There are some people that are in this world that we can spend at least 1 hour with them in prayer. Somebody you know needs prayer. We don't need to know their name. They can just call a line and say, I need prayer. Because I got the top four numbers up here. They're going to be the one. But I want to say this to those out there that are listening. You've heard two women of God preach, teach the word. Apostolic, they did. And I thank God for the opportunity, once again, to say it's all possible. And what God wants to do for us today is God wants to build. The bigger we get bolder, the bolder God gets in us. See, a scary man can't get up and stand there and shiver, but a bold man will say, nope, charge. And when God wasn't good, I look in the Old Testament, and they come back to the spies. You remember the story in Genesis about the 10 and the 2? 10 came back with a report, said, there are giants in the land. 2 came back and said, well, we are well able to subdue this land. That's the kind of faith you're going to have. God has made us some promises. He made us some promises. And all we got to do is hold God to his word. One thing I want to do, I want to ask somebody to do this. We're moving to the close. I want to see you something I took note of. Because I believe in helping and pushing the word out there. And to somebody, what God has done for us. See, God has made a promise. Somebody get Numbers 12 and 12, Numbers chapter 14, verses 30. And somebody get Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 34. I want to show something, what God has done. Call two seed, because the only two was able to get in that land, as I just told you, Cable. The two promises that were with Moses. There's only two of them. Besides Moses, let's get into that, because Moses had the promise kept, but he couldn't cross over because he did what he did. Amen?
Amen.
Does anybody have that book that I've asked for, please? Numbers 14, chapter 14, verses 30. Somebody got it, please? Would you read it if you have it?
Numbers 14, 30.
Yes.
Except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in.
Amen. There was only two Israelites permitted, two, to enter. And we look at also in verse 38, what it says in 14:30, what does it say, beloved?
14:38, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land.
These were the two men, Joshua and Caleb, the two men. Because the promises God has kept. See, we take this and we take it, when you got the promises of God on your life, it behooves us to take what God has promised us. See, when God says there's a promised land for all of us, he told Joshua, tell them, he says, according to the promise, when God made a promise, he promised us a Savior. We didn't know when he was coming. But for 400 years, the heaven was shut up. But when he came on the scene, John the Baptist began to make the announcement of him. And I will say this, beloved, because one of the things that I know this much, the more we take what God says, see, and the kingdom of God is according to Acts, in believing God's promise that the kingdom would be perpetual.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody get Acts 2:30. I just got no see I'm taking down.
Acts 2:30.
Acts 2:30
says, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne.
Amen. The promises God has made through his Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, God made promises in the Old Testament all the way down from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. God was there through his Son. His Son is now sitting on the right hand of God. And I'm saying in these last days we live in, those of us that can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible. What is all? All mean all, doesn't it? Amen. I want to say something also about the character of the saints that are on the line. If somebody will go to Colossians 3:12, Colossians, the New Testament, 3:12, the character of the saints. See, everybody who's coming online has to have some character. Character. You have something you can live by that nobody else can say, well, he ain't got no character. What do you mean? He don't have anything to stand by. He has no, his word is not sufficient. But as long as we know God, God says here in Colossians 3:12. Anyone have it?
Yes. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering.
Now, that shows some character. You going to be long-suffering? Amen?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Somebody go to Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verses, go to chapter 7, Deuteronomy. Exodus, Deuteronomy 7, chapter 7, verses 6, 14, chapter 14, verses 2. But I'd like to show you what it says, what God is saying to us. In the Old Testament, that was character. In the New Testament, but I'm dialing back so I can show. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 7, chapter 7. Verses 6, anyone have it?
For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth.
So, when we fall into that, see, you don't have to be called blah, 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 blah. But God has said what he wants in the character of those you are holy people. We are holy. You ain't got to go because the devil says something, because somebody don't like you. I don't care who don't like me, as long as God loves me in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Because I know, the more I trust God through Jesus Christ, the more I walk close to God, the more I see God doing things, the more. Yesterday, a lady that came for 40 years ago. I prayed for her. Came back to thank me for a prayer I prayed for her years ago, and still a prayer much needed. And I said to the lady, I said, remember these words. When you trust in God, all things are possible.
Yes.
40 years ago, she had a baby, and the baby was born dead. Had to stand up outside. I said, but God will give you the seed of righteousness. If you trust God and believe God, you'll have sons. She got two sons, and they're right now grown men. Folks said, why do you say this? Because I know what God said. I believe what God says. God can do anything, but God ain't gonna. God's going to tell me the truth. It's up to me to accept it. Yes, I accept it. Do you believe my son? I receive him, Lord. Do you need? I sure do, Lord. I ain't going to tell you no lie. I need him, Lord. I need him so bad. Look at him, Lord. I'm trying to find a way to hide myself away in him. Amen?
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 7. Somebody got it?
Yeah.
Read it, please.
Chapter 7, verse what?
14, that is. Chapter 14, verses 2.
Oh, chapter Amen. 14, verse 2. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people who are on the face of the earth.
Awesome. I thank you. Tracy was saying today, we are a special people. God has purposed us. He has ordained us. He's brought us. God is looking at our hearts. He wants us to believe. There's somebody right now. I'm going to start prayer. If you want to have a prayer for somebody, somebody can come on the line, want to pray for them, want to believe for them. We want God to do a great thing. I'm not going to hold you long tonight. I'll just ask for 30 minutes of your time because I want to see God move. I know God's going to move. As I told my wife today, I said, she says, Hannah, she says, why are you so quiet? I'm so quiet because I'm constantly letting the love of God drop into my heart. And the more God's love drop into my being, the more I'm in love with him. Hallelujah. Father,
Amen.
Before I come any further, I ask you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus Christ, any sins, knowing or unknown, that I have and don't know, have admitted of, I ask you right now as I submit and confess any sins, any wrongdoing, any bad thoughts, anything that was negative, to let the blood of Jesus Christ purge me and cleanse me that I may come into your presence right now. Father, as he brings me to you, I believe, because we believe your word. You said in your word, in John chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, you said, this is the confession that we have. We have a confession. We believe. We believe. And if we believe in you, we're not condemned. But, Father, tonight is the night that we come for all things to be possible. Some of those on the prayer line with us need a touch of God through Jesus Christ. Some men out there need to repent for the wrongs they've done. Some women need to repent. And we stand with them and put our arms around them and say, come on. We have to repent our own self. We have to confess to the name of Jesus Christ that we could be brought what that price was paid. All his blood was spewed out for the righteousness of us. And tonight, Father, we just said thank you. We declare and declare. We declare in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus. We call the devil a liar from the beginning. We know, Father, that all things work together, those of us who love you. And, Father, in all 50 states, I pray tonight that somebody, the presidents, the governors, the senators, those who are elected office will come to understand that they cannot be like the Pharisees or the Sadducees, but they will come to know Jesus Christ. I pray this day, Father, that the husband and wife will love each other, pray for each other. I pray for the children that are disobedient will come obedient. I pray for the students that are going across this land and country, that they will submit to the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Father, tonight's the night that we said thank you for everything. Father, from the rising of the sun to the setting of it, you're still God. And besides you, there's none. Somebody on the line right now got a touch for the healing of their body. All seven parts of our body. But Father, we believe. Jesus said we can do these things if we can believe. And as Sonia has said, do we believe? We believe. I believe. We can do all things because we believe. We believe that God has given us the fullness of the power. The Holy Ghost flows out of our belly, and we know that we can speak a word, and we can cause the dead to rise from the grave, blind eyes to be opened, ears to be unstopped, limbs that are broken repair, the three layers of flesh will be conquered, the nervous system, the liver system, the lung system, the heart system, the 240-some bones in the body. Father, you make it steam. Father, you know all about us, the mountain of help we have over here. I call you tonight to have mercy upon us individually. I want to thank you for the radio station that it belongs to you and those who are being a part of it, that you will make them know it's you, Father. We reach out and touch the untouched and tell the untold. And I ask you tonight, Father, that you will just bless them. I ask you, let the fullness of the Holy Ghost fall down on those. And, Father, the Bible says in the Word, those who still do wickedness, they will never see the kingdom of God. But in the book of Psalm chapter 1, blessed are pure in heart. For you said in Psalm chapter 1, we were not going to sit with the scornful, we're going to sit with the righteous. For Father, we know that you know that you know in Psalms, hallelujah, 91. He that dwelleth in the sixth place at the Most High, of the Most High shall dwell. We're going to dwell on this wing. For on this wing, we have protection. Nothing can do us wrong. We're not looking so much for something to do us wrong, but Father, there's a lot of work to be done in this land we live in. America needs help right now. The prayers of the righteous must go forth. And I want to thank you, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I want to thank you. I want to believe you. I want to praise you. I want to adore you. I want to magnify your name. For I believe, Father, in my life right now, greater works shall be done because I believe. And for this, Father, I said thank you. And, Father, if somebody has prayer to offer before you, please accept us. Please accept us that we can do a great work. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody has got a prayer to pray?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, that you have given us to spread your word, to reach those that are lost. And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that your word will go forth with power, with clarity, with accuracy, with effectiveness in Jesus' name, that it will reach across the United States and even to other countries, Lord. I just pray that your will be done. I pray, Most High God, and I ask for your favor upon this radio station. I pray that the blind eyes will see and deaf ears will hear when they tune in. I pray that you will enhance the listener base, Most High God, and send men and women, Most High God, to this station, Lord, with those with skills, special skills that are needed, Most High God, that will enhance the program and the vision that has been given to the man of God. In Jesus' name, I pray that many souls will be added to your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' name, I pray that those that are listening tonight, those that are hurting, and those that are in pain, that you will touch their hearts and I pray that you would give them the answers that they need, because you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our physician. And I thank you, Lord, for touching the hearts and minds of the listeners, Most High God, transforming their hearts and taking control. I bless your holy name, Most High God. And we pray, Most High God, that you will do exceedingly abundantly in the lives of those that are listening. Their needs be one. The shalom of God, nothing missing and nothing broken. I thank you for answering and hearing our prayers. Keep us faithful in what you have called us to do, to be diligent, to be faithful, men and women of excellence. In Jesus' name, I thank you that you will be lifted up always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Anybody else got a prayer they want to offer? Amen. Because I believe one thing I learned through prayer time, somebody may be in your house and will even say a word to you, but they need some prayer. Somebody may be walking close to you, but won't say a word to you, body hurting, but the Holy Spirit can tap you. And I say this to all of us who are listening. Unless God say, pray for them, don't even attempt to pray, because it's not of God. I learned that the hard way. When God say pray, he means pray. Because in America, this is the land we live in. Some of us live in New York. Some live in Georgia. Some live in Louisiana. Some live in Texas. But we want to take this station to the highest place. We know that God can do anything and all things. He made us a promise. He kept his promise to us. He promised us. He sent us a Savior. He sent him one. We ain't seen it, but we believe it. Now, Jesus, the word is so sure. The word, God says, there is no other God like me. And there will be none before me, nor after me. So why would we look for darkness to try to be our rule? And I say to the woman, to the man that's not hearing by the eternal ear, we want to know the spiritual ear to become open. They can hear what the word of God is saying. Because God is calling the saints of righteousness. We are sons of God. We are the chosen one of God. We are the one that God wants to use at this hour. Nobody else is going to be as bold as you are, because they're not going to do what you're doing. But we can encourage them to come to prayer time, to come to teaching time, to come to giving time. We got to become humble to God. And as I've said to you, it's two things that God has taught me to understand. It's what God has taught me. Number one, we've got to be able to understand what it means to forbear. Secondly, we must know we've got to have an understanding and bearing, because we can forbear what somebody is doing, but we've got to know we've got to be able to receive it and give it back, because God is so good. God said his word cannot be separated from him. When God say, my word, give me back. He said, close on the radio station, give me back my word. In other words, God said, what does my word say? Show me. Repeat it to him. Not one time, not two times. Repeat it to him throughout the day. You said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Continue, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my... Who is the Lord? God Almighty. Who is my shepherd? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And God is calling us to power. He's calling us to great work. Time, I don't have to play anymore. I don't have, you know, I want to be watching that game, but no, I got to do God's will. I want to go look at the movie. No, I got to do God's will. Sometimes, in addition, God wants to say to us, set aside time that you can spend with me. How much time you spend with God? You don't know. Because let me tell you what I found out. The more time you spend with God, the more God wants you to stay. Well, that was so good. Can I come back? Let's say, anytime I am available. That's what God wants us to know. The more we trust God, the more we believe God. And I want to say to those of you that believe and on the line with us tonight, and those who have not signed up yet but I see behind the scene, God still loves you. Jesus said, Father, I have sent them. When you read the 17th chapter of St. John, and you read it, you see succinctly what Jesus said, words, Lord have mercy, words that stir me, words that call me to get started, words, Jesus said, he said in his word, and you know what, he is the word, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and I want somebody to know right now that God is able to heal right now. It's according to your faith. It's according to your faith. May not look like it, may not act like it, but you'll heal. See, internally, you've got to receive it. Externally, it's got to be benefited. Because on the inside, woo, shamba, God says, I do all things through his son, Jesus Christ. And see, do you think God's going to let his son come down and do to the whip and nobody going to just, we think we're going to get away clean? Oh, no, he ain't going to do. The same thing he had to go through, he set a pattern for us. That means maybe some people you don't like. Pray for them. There may be some white folks that don't like it. Pray for them. There might be some black folks that don't like it. Pray for them. There might be some for people in the seven continents. Pray for them. Because prayer can't hurt. It's always best. And Rose used to say, it's always best to keep your mouth shut. But when you open your mouth and say something, you tell everybody what you're saying. But I want to show something to those who listen with me and believe in God. I want to take you to the 17th chapter of St. John. Because this is what moves my spirit. I pray God to do the same for you. I pray God you will see. In the 17th chapter of St. John, when we get down to it, praise God. He says in the 17th chapter of St. John, here's what he says. He says, Father, the hour has come. The hour, the hour, it says, the hour has come that, hallelujah, glorify thy son. Wow. Jesus giving it all up. Glorify thy son. What is he doing? Because what he's doing, he's going to do for us is to glorify thy son. That thy son may glorify thee. A hand in glove and a glove in hand. I always say it like this is. If you believe you can play baseball, remember, you got to have hand. You got to have a glove. You can put it on. When you're in it, it's time to play ball, take it off. A glove in the hand. But all the way down to the scripture, because I want to take you to one I see. He said in the 17th chapter, and one verse, Jesus said to him, he said, I've given them, in verse 14, I pray you got your Bible up with me right quick, because this is a blessing. This is a blessing for somebody. Somebody's getting a blessing right now. I see somebody in their body right now is getting a healing right now. May not look like it, but it's a healing for you right now. Amen. In the 17th chapter, verse 14, I have given them thy word. And Jesus sent the apostles and the prophets. I have given them thy word. What word? The word of truth. The word to know. The word that God has given to us. God will let it be known. He stands firm. He says this. Then here's Jesus talking to the Father. Talking to the Father. He says these words. Hallelujah. The words have the world. Oh, the world. Let me tell you. Anyone's back out there beat popping, drinking beer with them, smoking dope with them. See, the world gonna hate you now. See, when I was used to chase the women before I met the Lord, but I used to drink when I was before I left the mother, I used to do this and do that. But now that I've met the Lord, no, I ain't looking back no more. I'm headed forward. I'm headed up and out. I want to get higher. I want to get deeper. I want to get long as I can in the Lord's word. And when the word, when God's word, God's word is awesome. When God can do it, God can do everything he wants to do for us. And he says it because they are not of the world. Oh, listen to the night. The Bible says to us tonight, we're not of the world. We don't cuss, we don't lie, we don't cheat. We're not of the world. That's why the world hates us, because Tracy, you're going to teach a lesson. Son, you're going to teach a lesson. Prophets, you got a word of God. And another lady on there, person on there, you got a word from God. The world's going to hate you. So don't you think look for people to say, well, I'm looking, oh, I'm going to tell you what I say. When I come to give the word, it's been given. It's up to you to eat it. I don't have time to play. I don't have time to say. I'm not playing games. This is R-E-A-L because life is at stake. When God blessed me with my third grandson, I lift my hands and said, Lord, I thank you that you have allowed me to see one more of my generation to come in, and I thank you for it. Why? Because it's my son's son. But my son's son is going to carry out whatever it is. And I want to tell you that the more we see, we got to trust God. We got to believe God. We got to believe God. Hallelujah. I say these words because hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Even if I'm not of the world. See, we're not of the world. God is not of the world. See, he told the devil in the fourth chapter of Matthew, he said, no, no, no. He said to him three times, no, no, no. He said, thou shalt worship the Lord, our God. He included the devil. The devil ain't going to worship God. You don't need to go to church, girl. You don't need to go, brother. That's a one over here. No. When you hear God speak a word to somebody, somebody was on the line left, but they got a blessing. Some people don't want to be on the line because they don't want a blessing. They want to play. But I want to say this to you tonight as you're on there with me. As God be a witness, everything we have said and done, but the more I take us into the 17th chapter of St. John, the 25th verse, it says, of righteousness, Father, the world hated them, the world has known me. See, he says here, of righteousness. He points it out in 1, 2, 3, 4 places. If you go and read the 17th chapter of St. John, he says, Father, O God, Holy Father, Father, he makes mention of him, and he calls him Father, the Son of the living God. So if we are the same as he were, we receive him, he said we take on the same that he did because God paid the price for us through his Son, and Jesus came in because he set a standard that cannot be broken. Can't be broken. If you receive the Son of God, you receive God. But if you do not receive the Son of God, you do not receive God. And I tell people all the time, don't sit and think you know God, then God knows you because you didn't know the Son. We can't get to the Father until we come to the Son. The standard has been set. No matter how we look at it, no matter how we see it, well, I want you to pray for me. Well, let me see where you pray. What do you want to pray for? I need a job. No, no, no. I ain't going to pray for you no job. A job is there. I want you to pray to come into the kingdom of Almighty God. And God said, I will open up Jesus. He said, I will open up the windows, and I will open every blessing you need. And I remember a lady that went to be with the Lord, with my pastor, Dr. Beverly Wright. She said these words. God has presence that people have not opened. Have you opened the presence God has for you? Every time you pray a prayer, God hear your prayer. But you got to come to the present room, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-R-O-O-M. It's like coming to college. You got to come into the classroom. You got to hear what God is saying. You got to believe what God is saying. But God says, I am. But you know one thing I've come to say to the people I love? But I love y'all. Y'all deserve much. I love you. I can't see you, but I love you. I love you with the love of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I saw what you have done for me. Some of you have prayed for me. I prayed for you. And some out there, I'm going to tell you the truth, they don't like either one of us. But that's all right. We still love them. Amen. But we have to understand what God is saying to us. And I say this, God so loved this world. And we see so many incidences that are happening. Look at this. Look over there in Pakistan. Look over there in China. Look over there in Australia. Look over there in Eastern countries. And look what they're trying to do down there. Have you read and believed that in our hometown, what God has promised us, he called it, where he wants to go, he's to Jerusalem. They spent 130 in one whole day. 130 rockets was launched into, and they had to fight it back in Israel. Folks said, well, you know, no, I'm never going to say that because I am a part of. I'm that new man that Jesus talked about. It's not Jewish or Gentile. It's a new man. And that new man lives because Jesus lives in us. Jesus has a room for us, but it's up to us. But see, that's going to be a fight. The devil going to have his fight, but God's going to have his fight through his son. And you know what? When God sit back and say it's over, it's over. It's over. And I want somebody to know that I know that you know that you know that you know that you know. When God says, the rising of the sun will set no more, God's going to bring a new day. When you get up into the 22nd chapter of Revelation and begin to see what God says, and somewhere in that verse he says, these are the people that will not enter the kingdom of God. And see, the people get upset, but we got to tell the truth, what God says to us. We got to say what God says to us and through us. When God moves upon us, when God loves us, and God let it be known to us. And one of the things I will say to us tonight, these words, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3, I believe it is. Woo, Jesus, oh my Lord, God is so good, he's so good. See what God says to us. God says, he wants us to recognize, realize, and come to understand. And in verse chapter, Galatians chapter 1, verses 4, it says, who gave himself for our sins, Jesus did, that he might deliver us from this. Oh, so you can tell somebody to know it. You know it. Deliver us from this evil world, from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. See, you look at it, it looks like it's a double standard, but it's not. The Father is talking to the Son is talking to the Father, and the Holy Spirit is in the midst of it. There is a coherence of conversation, but they're all on the same key. Flucky, dicky, but they're all on the same key. And when God says, who gave himself, Jesus did. He gave his body, a perfect body. It was not like the one that's made out of dirt. Like a man said yesterday on the television, he said, the devil said, well, I'm gonna make me a man just like you did. And God said, okay, can you do that? He said, yeah. He said, I believe I can make a man who can dream, he can create, he can do everything. He said, okay. He said, God said, why are you going to do that? He reached down and get some dates, and God said, nope, that's my day. Get your own day. I hope you got the meaning of that. A lot of people I remember when I didn't have faith. F-A-I-T-A. But when I understand what faith is, believability on God. Speak those things that be not. Believe I'm healed. It don't look like it, act like it, but I'm healed. I'm rich. Don't act like it, but I'm rich. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 22, it was God who said, 8 and 22 said, and God said, it is I who give you the power to get wealth. Why you give me the power to get wealth? That you might bring my covenant into the earth realm. That's why God does it. That's why God gives us what he gives. Don't think you poor because you're so rich you can't even see. But you're not being rich with the things of the world, but you're rich with the things in Jesus Christ. And then we look in the same book, Deuteronomy, in 20, God said, I will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not below. And God said, when I will open up the treasures of heaven, good God Almighty, my God, he going up the treasure? Yeah. You know what, right? A big chunk of diamond might fall out. Two hunks of gold you can't pick up, too heavy to pick up. A new car might fall down. But you know what I say to people that I say? That's all they do. But I want to be able to, hallelujah. When God comes and finishes his work, according to the book, when God finishes it, his work, I want us to realize something what God says. Hear what he says in Galatians chapter 3. When you go to chapter 3 and you read it, and you get, he says, when he talks about it, he says, in chapter 3, I hope I'm helping, so I hope somebody loves me. I hope I'm not hurting somebody's feeling. I still love you. I still love you. I want you to know one thing that he says. In the law, doing against the promise of God, God forbid, for there had been a law given which could have given life. The law couldn't give life. The law could not give life. It just could not give life. The law was nothing but a written thing. But life came through Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I give my life that they might live. And see, I will say this to those who believe God, can hear what God is saying this night. Because here's something I would like to just believe with you tonight. Because in Galatians, the third chapter, what Jesus did, he gave his life. He became a curse for us. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 9, blessed, the one who hangs on a tree is cursed. Everyone that hung on a tree was cursed. We hung on a tree of damnation. But Jesus came and removed the curse and brought us into the work of God. It behooves us to stay with God. And as I stated to you this night, I stand before you in the fullness of God. The liberty. Can you stand with me? Yeah, I believe you can. The fifth chapter, stand therefore in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free anew, and he be not entangled again with the yokes of bondage. Bondage, B-O-N. Don't let the world, don't let the man or woman, don't let the president, the governor, the mayor, don't let nobody bring you back into subjection of being in bondage. Have your freedom. Father, I thank you tonight for everybody that's listened. Somebody was on the line with us, needed a touch. You blessed us. You brought us to a point. And I said, thank you, Father. I love you. Tonight is the night that I say hallelujah. Somebody, somewhere. Father, we don't see ourselves as being talking rocks. We see ourselves as lovers of the Word of God. We pray tonight that somebody that have heard what my sisters have said, what we have said, they will be blessed, Father. They will be blessed. I ask you tonight that your word will be sharp and pure. Somebody will come to know Jesus Christ. as our Lord and Savior. And Father Mobile, I said thank you for everything. After night to night that we just give you the praise. We praise your name. Allah alayhi, Allah alayhi, Allah alayhi. The highest praise that we can ever give you. I want to thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody got a word they want to say before? Anybody else got a word to say? Thank y'all for listening to me. Tracy, are you there?
Yes.
Tracy?
Hello?
Sonia, are you there?
Yes.
Providence, are you there? Well, she got it on hold. But that's a person that called with the 0198. I thank God because I see your number appear all the time. But we pray for you. And I want to let y'all know tonight has been a night that God has blessed us. And tonight we brought Sonia on. She has a part in this ministry, KESK. But I want her to know she knows, but I want her to know that because the love connection you have, Sonia, we have you. You have us. And we love you.
Mm-hmm.
And we want you to know we thank God for you. And the Lord bless
thank
you. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen. And praise the living God. To
amen.
God be the glory. Nobody but God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, glory to God. The line is open. Anybody got something to say? Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The line is open. You got anybody you know that needs a healer? Somebody you praying for, somebody you believing for, God is still able.
Yes, he is.
And I want to just say this to you. All things are possible to those who believe. Regardless of how we look at it, God is still our God. You're going to rise tomorrow with a new attitude. Me, a better attitude, a bright attitude. God, we're going to bless those children that woman have brought into the world. And I say for those men who ran away from their children, you're worse than an infidel. You rascal, you. You need to come on back and pay for your... Well, that's another story. Leave it alone. Okay, Lord. But I want to let you know tonight is that... Well, praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Have to obey God. Sometimes I want to say, I can't say what I want to say, but I don't let it out, so I can't say it. And we ain't got the repent of it. Amen.
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 Amen. You got something to say, Tracy? Go ahead and say something, Tracy.
You said enough.
Ma'am?
I say you
well,
said
I
want
to thank you for listening to me. Amen. You said enough. You and son, y'all stirred me up. Y'all just don't know. I said, look at these sisters. They thought y'all were throwing rocks at the devil. I got down and started helping y'all. We're going to throw a lot of rocks at him. Amen. Rocks to repentance. And we had fun. As we go off tonight, I want to thank you. Ma'am?
Do we have time? I
go
want
ahead.
To pray for the salvation of the lost tonight.
Go ahead. We got time. We got 1 hour and 20 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. Father, we bring the lost of this world to you today. Every man, woman, and child from here to the farthest corner of the earth before you, Heavenly Father. As we intercede, we use our faith believing that thousands this day will have the opportunity to make Jesus their Lord. We ask the Lord of the harvest to thrust the perfect laborers across these lives this day. and to share the good news of the gospel in a special way so that they will listen and understand it. We believe that they will not be able to resist the wooing of the Holy Spirit for you, Father.
Yes,
bring
Lord.
Them to
yes,
repentance
Lord.
By your goodness and love. We confess
yes,
that they shall see who has never been told of Jesus, that they shall understand who has never heard of Jesus, and that they shall come out of the snare of the devil who has held them captive. We confess
yes,
that they
Lord.
Shall open their eyes and turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to you, Heavenly Father. And Father, we just believe that we've received this. We pray for the church that and the missionaries that are out in those fields, oh God, the laborers that are out there, Father. We pray for them that are in these foreign countries. We pray for the persecuted church. We pray for those that don't have Bibles, that have one page of the Bible, that are believing from that one page. We pray for these places that are destitute and desolate like that of the gospel, oh God. And, Father, we thank you that you'll break forth a mighty light in this darkness. Father, we give you the praise because we know nothing is impossible with you. And, Father, we pray for the missionaries over in Serbia. We pray for the missionaries in Eastern Europe. We pray for the missionaries down in Jakarta, Indonesia. We pray for the missionaries in Sudan, in the heart of darkness in Africa. We pray for missionaries all over this world, oh God. Give them the strength to do what they need to do, oh God. Give them the money to do what they need to do, Lord. Draw them by your spirit, oh God. Strengthen them, Lord God. Undergird them, Lord God. Father, give them a power like they've never experienced before. And, Father, we just thank you, Lord God. And we just lift them up to you, Heavenly Father. And we just praise
yes.
you, Lord God, for the salvation of the lost, Lord God, that you wish that no man shall perish, but that all be saved. And, Father, we just thank you that you're even drawing them right now to call into the radio station and ask, what must I do to be saved? Father, we give you the praise for this. We glorify your holy name. And if anybody's on here tonight that wants to pray the prayer of salvation, you can just simply repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead, and I thank you, Lord God, that according to your word in Romans 10 and 9, that I am saved, and I believe it, I
yes.
receive it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Woo. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Anybody else got something to say, a word to say, encouragement? Anybody else? Well, what I'm going to do then, if nobody don't say, call back in a few minutes, I'm going to put a tape on that. If you get an opportunity, just listen to it for at least 10 minutes, and then you can hang up. I want you to see what God has blessed me with. And if you hear it, you can believe God, because God can do anything and everything. He's still kind of God that we serve. Amen?
Amen.
But God is still a baby.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to bring it up. And you be patient with me. I'll have it up. And you'll be able to hear it. And if you can give yourself at least 10 minutes of it, I believe it'll be all right for you. Amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
D63HQHP, Healing Scriptures.
I am reading from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said, so it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8, 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7:15, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee. Exodus 15:26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none or permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26, chapter, the 3rd verse, and then the 9th verse. If ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58:8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, the 9th verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Psalm 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147, 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23, 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34, 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalm 41, 3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42, 11. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7, 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Or the margin reads, surely he has borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13, verse 14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Be the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and 14. And then chapter 2, verses 10 and 15. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, and the 12th verse, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5, 26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90, 10. The days of our years are 70, that by reason of strength they be 80 years. The 91st Psalm, verses 10 through 16. Thou shalt no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 22. Thou shalt not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Now then, let's look at some scriptures concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew the 8th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he. And to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place acknowledged of him, they sent out to all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus departed thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43. And they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Then mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she would come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed. And he spake plain, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft time it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, and he cometh to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Then Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 33 through 36, and then the 40th verse and the 41st verse. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou, Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power, he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Then in Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 10, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. Then in Luke, the 6th chapter, the 17th through the 19th verse, And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Then in Luke the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 17, And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men are to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And art not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, we will read verses 2 through 14. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come up unto thee. Then in John the 9th chapter we shall read verses 1 through 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Then in John chapter 10, verse 10, The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then again, Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 1st verse. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. John, the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Acts the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Acts chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Amos, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Amos, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, he said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And they did pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, he shall be forgiven. One to another, and pray one to another, that he may be forgiven. Verse 2. To you that shall be
every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and the glory of God the Father.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 23. Here Paul says, I cease not to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then in John, the 16th chapter, verses 23 and 24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Again, Mark, the 16th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verses. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Notice, in my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Acts, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 16. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter cast his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the portage called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom he delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired the Holy to be granted, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name. Now notice that. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest gathered together to him. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you holy. This is the stone which was set in all of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is thy salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant, and they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten that they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, and now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Then Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you that in truth you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, and then verses 19 through 21. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So then faith cometh, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Romans 6:14. For sin, or Satan, shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Then Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 8:16. When the year was come, they brought unto him many that possessed the devil, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. John chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, or the margin read, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession, or again the margin reads, the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. That the communication of thy mouth may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Joel chapter 3, verse 10. Let the weak say, I am strong. I want to read Deuteronomy chapter 28, reading the entire chapter, and then Galatians chapter 3, also reading the entire chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he is sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee over and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursed, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. It shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth. And no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the box of Egypt and with the emrods and with the scab and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no night or no might in thy hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore box that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment and proverb and a byword among all nations where the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out of the field, shall gather but little in, for the locusts shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor eat the grape, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, upon thy seed forever. because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart from the abundance of all things. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee at all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the seeds, and in the straightness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you, and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother, towards the wife of his bosom, and towards the remnant of his children which he shall leave, so that he shall not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he had nothing left him in the seeds, and in the straightness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the seeds and straightness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness, and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee, until thou be destroyed. And he shall be left few in number, whereas he were the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even to the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. The Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, and fading of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night. And thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondsmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Now then I want to read from Galatians chapter 3, beginning with the first verse, and reading the whole chapter. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched thee that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that contendeth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I want you to notice that according to these scriptures, and specifically Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring or permit to be brought upon thee till thou be destroyed. Now, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. There are a number of diseases that are listed here. But then he also adds every sickness. So therefore, you can say, my sickness, whatever it is, cancer, tuberculosis, anemic, mental distress, whatever your sickness is, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, my sickness is a curse of the law. Now notice Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now here's what I want you to confess. I want you to say it over and over and over again to yourself. Say it out loud if you're by yourself. Say it quietly to yourself if someone else is with you. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, now name your sickness, cancer, tuberculosis, kidney trouble, liver trouble, whatever it is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from sickness, and specify your sickness. In other words, I'll give you an illustration. We'll just call it cancer. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, cancer, is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, he's redeemed me from the curse of sickness. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from cancer. All right, we'll just say your trouble is a stomach ulcer. All right, say this then. My sickness or ulcer, stomach ulcer, is a curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy 28:61. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from ulcers of the stomach. Now, say, for instance, your condition is a blood disease. You see, according to Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, my blood disease is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from blood disease. I just gave that to you as an illustration. Whatever your sickness is, call it a curse of the law. Confess it's a curse of the law. Then confess Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I am redeemed from sickness. And specify your sickness. Now, I want you to do that. I want you to listen to these two chapters, Galatians 3, Deuteronomy 28, over and over again. And then at every waking moment, all night long, all day long, continue to make the confession. Therefore, I am redeemed from, and specify your sickness.
This message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org or write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station D, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4F3.
No, I'm on the way.